begin to bless him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that we don't serve a dead God, but a living God. A living God. That you are a man of your word, that you say you will meet us, and that's what you do. Thank you, Jesus, that there's never been a moment, even my deepest, darkest hour, that I was alone. Thank you, Jesus, that you've saved me. Thank you, Jesus, that you've healed me. Thank you, Lord, that you've delivered me. Thank you, Lord, that you walk with me. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to worry because you have all of my yesterdays, all of my todays, and all of my tomorrows. God, thank you that I'm in your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your word is living and active, God. That we're not reading a historical book, but we're reading the words of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Now just take 30 seconds and bless him. If you have a heavenly language, just pray in your heavenly language right now. Come on, we're getting in unity right now. There's power in unity. Come on, prophesy, speak in tongues, join in a heavenly language, a unified language. Lord, we love you. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. We bind any distractions right now. Any idols, any distractions, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we say, open our minds and our hearts right now. We are good soil. We are good soil. We are good soil this morning. We are receiving your word. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. We praise you. Is there anyone here that's been dealing the last week or two with migraine headaches? If that's you, slip a hand up. If that's you. Anyone with migraine headaches, we've got two. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Ryan, put your hand on Miss Jo. Miss Jo, right now, Jody, put your hand on her. Right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Nicole, will you get Miss Jo right there? Put your hand on her. Right now in the name of Jesus, we speak the blood over you. Right now, migraines leave in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus, you say, by your stripes we are healed. So I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Migraines leave. I saw a vision in worship that the Lord reached down and pulled migraines out right over the top of your head. We speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Now receive it. Come on, church. Pray for him for 10 seconds. Pray for him. Hallelujah. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Is there anyone here that had a sharp pain in their right neck, the right side of their neck? In the right side of their neck. We have one right there. One right there. Abigail. Right there, Abigail. Put your hand on her. Put your hand on her right there. In the plaid right there. Yeah, put your hand on her. Right now in the name of Jesus, we speak healing. Neck pain leave right now in the name of Jesus. Right now. We speak healing. We speak loose to her neck where it's been bound, where it's been tight. We speak that the joints right now would come under the authority of the name of Jesus. And we speak full range of motion and healing. Right now we seal it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, we worship you. We glorify you. We know that you are moving. And we say, interrupt the message, interrupt our time, and have your way. Have the stage. You are the one we're here for. Not Blaine, not a speaker, not a word. We're here for you. This is your church, your podium, your platform, and your word. So have your way right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, what a time of worship. I feel like a big baby as I go, as I follow the Lord. I remember I got saved in 2015 and it was a radical encounter. I just had a lot of friends that went to a certain church and, we were all out living the same life, partying, doing all those things. And it seemed like they were the ones making money. And I wasn't. And I'm like, what are they doing different? Oh, they go to church, so let me try that. Go to church, scrape up a few bucks, throw it in the plate. Used to be this old guy at church. I love him to death. He used to carry a candy in his pocket, and it was a caramel. I ate so many caramel candies. I hate them now. I'm wore out. But, you know, I'm going through the motions, just going to church, you know, hoping for a blessing, hoping for direction. Had no intention of meeting Jesus. Had no intentions of getting saved. I actually just wanted to add church. You know, maybe there would be people in the church that needed the services that I provided. But I met Jesus November 8, 2015. And I didn't even have the language. I didn't have the word. I didn't know what encounter meant. I didn't know what really anything meant. But I had such a tangible encounter. That I've never been the same. And so, you know, that is this morning. Then when I first got saved, I was so like, I never cried. I could try. I would try, but come on, tear, you know. Well, let me take that back. A good Nicholas Sparks movie would get me, right, Justin? You know, a good chick flick, that would be. I blamed it on my sisters, growing up with sisters, but I actually love them. You know, The Notebook will mess me up every time, right? and so that's how I swept Danielle off her feet. Anyways, moving on. You don't need to hear that. One time Bailey went to get ice cream with us. This is the last story. And we're at Grader's getting ice cream. And we're driving through. And Bailey and I wrote a movie based off of these two people sitting on the bench getting ice cream. We still need to send that to Nicholas Sparks. That could be a moneymaker. So anyways, I love chick flicks. But I'd never cry. I'd never get emotional in any time. And now it's like we started off. And let me tell you, that's directional worship. We didn't sing songs that just make us feel good. We sang Jesus, you know, the name of Jesus, faith, and we sang holy. And as Pastor Betty said, that's what they're singing in the throne room. And that's where you encounter God. That's when he heals. I didn't get up and say, Lord, you have to give me a word for healing. We moved his heart, and he goes, oh, there's someone here that needs healed. And that's a secret, if you will, to manifestations in the supernatural of God. There's no forum. There's no, you know, it's not like, oh, Corey, you've been following the Lord for so long, you're now ready. It's he looks down and he sees a willing heart, a surrendered heart, and it's all about Jesus. And so we lift up the name of Jesus and it moves his heart to heal. It moves his heart to touch and do things that no man or woman could do. And I love that. Amen? Amen. And so I was just like a baby this morning, just sobbing, you know. I'm like, pull it together, Blaine, right? Pull it together. And so this morning, we're coming off of a great Sunday service. The Holy Spirit was moving in baptisms. Amen. Amen. real quick, I don't want to burn my time, but I think that this house has something special for baptism. One of the first time, I don't know. Anyways, there was one service, like people were jumping off the stage, getting in the baptism, and women weren't even caring about their hair, their Sunday get up, and we're just getting, boom, dunking them in, and One night, McKenna had me come and speak at a youth lock-in, and the water was freezing, and the Lord moved, and I'm like, McKenna, you're the youth pastor. She goes, you're the speaker. We were trying to push it off, so we're dunking people at 11 p.m., and then last Sunday, the Holy Spirit was moving, and I don't know about you, but I got touched under the water. So never let anyone tell you baptisms are merely symbolic. That's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There is supernatural encounters in the water. There is supernatural encounters in the water. Amen. And the North Georgia people said amen. I love it. And so this morning, I feel a shift. I normally I want to share a word with you, and I feel like it's going to speak to us as individuals, and it's going to speak to the body. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, and I want to just, I want to have this morning as a time that we can prepare ourselves for the days ahead, that we can prepare our families, our relationship with God, and as a corporate body, we can come together and we can experience all that God has for us. On a Wednesday night, Pastor had me share the past two Wednesdays, and I love it, and we talked about fasting, and then we talked about the life of the kingdom that we carry. And the life that we experience, we carry, and we release. But what I said is I want us as individuals to be ready for the move of God and not cut him short. Because something different happens, and we say, God's moving, we're good with that. I want us to be so laid down as a body that we have surrendered our will, our ways, and our plans And we're going such to the point where we'll grieve, and where fasting came in is we'll grieve the flesh and what we say we need for nourishment to press into who he is. Because I want the fullness of what he has. You know, 3 years ago, God gave Danny and I a verse, and we use it as a hashtag or a phrase, in Marion as it is in heaven. So we'd take street teams and pray. And we saw, you know, miracle signs, wonders. We saw a lady get out of a wheelchair. We saw somebody that was hated his life get touched and healed. And so I want to see that fullness in this building and in this city. And then my wife and I know many of you do too, we have a burden for the region. We have a burden for the region. I pray that this even helps prepare us and shift our perspective to draw closer to God. Because he promises in his word, when you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. So it's just as Pastor Betty was sharing, it's not just one way. And a lot of times, I've heard so many people, they're sitting stationary and just say, yeah, God, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I'll do this, and I'm waiting on you, I'm waiting on you. But he's waiting on you to make a step of faith. He's saying, hey, I don't need a PhD, I don't need a doctorate, you don't need to be a pastor, you don't have to preach. I need you to put one foot in front of the other. And physically get out of your comfort zone and draw close. And he goes, I promise I'll meet you there. And so I want us to receive that this morning. And so my title, if you're taking notes, is See God. See God. Look at your neighbor and say, see God. Look at your other neighbor and say, see God. See God. Amen. I remember Abigail, she would speak and she would talk often about seeing God rightly. And that's been something that I'm like, God, I want to see you rightly. So I always look at that phrase and that, and I'm like, Lord, I want to see you rightly, and I don't want familiarity and comfort zones and religiosity to block me from seeing you rightly. And so seeing God, and I want to just add these thoughts in, is how you see God, okay? How you see God and where you see God. So what I mean by that is, how do you see God? I don't know how else to explain it. How do you see God? How do you see him, from a biblical view or from a personal view? Do you see him from a passed down revelation of your parents or your grandparents? Do you see him from, you know, over the past 7 years, just Pastor Rowan's revelation? Because we're not birds. We don't have mama or papa bird chew up the worm and then spit it back into you. That's nasty, man. I'm so thankful we don't do that, or else Zaid would have to pray for manna, you know. But how do you see God? How do you see him? Because it's so crucial in this hour. And I believe if we're not in the end times, we're in a pivotal moment in our world that will set up the next 100 years of believers. Because there are things, you may just sit in the pew and you may think I'm Pentecostal, but there were men and women of God. You're Foursquare, right? We're Foursquare as a church. Many people don't understand that there was a woman of God catch a vision and an anointing, that her act of faith and her revelation of God put us in this building and in this doctrinal belief now. There was a man, William Seymour, that caught a revelation of God, and we know it as the Azusa Street Revival, that shifted a nation. We have, you know, John Wesley. We have Martin Luther. We have these men or women that saw God from a biblical perspective, and that alignment put a burden that shifted the nation. And you may think, hey, man, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist, but your family needs shifted. I used to think it would be so cool to pastor a church, and I still want to. I want to pastor a church. It's a calling. It's a gracing on my life. But I've realized that the people that fill the church have more influence than the man that, you know, is standing behind the pulpit. Because you have family members, you have jobs that Pastor Rowan never met, that the next pastor may never meet, that the church you go to will never meet, that Pastor Betty, that Pastor Teresa, so many pastors, man, I need a list. But so many, we're blessed to have so many ministers in this house and pastors and gifted people. But there's a place where you need to get rocked by seeing God rightly so you can go into your life and shake that area. Shake that area. So it can, you know, and it's not for recognition, but it can go back to, you know, Zaid's generation, his children's children's children may know that there was a man or woman of God that stepped in the gap because they saw God rightly. And I'm here, you'll never preach the message of the kingdom without knowing the king. You just never will. You can decree and declare kingdom all you want, but if you don't know the king, it doesn't matter. And so we have to see him rightly. In navigating through this hour, you will not tap into all that he has for you without seeing him rightly. And I don't want to settle for a measure. I read the word and I read phrases and I'm like, man, I want that. And I need that in my life. My family needs that. And so God, align me to you so that I can be a vessel to release you in your heart. Amen. So how do you see him? And we need to see him from a biblical place, not your our crazy, wild thoughts that you hear people say. Where do you see God? Where is he in your life? Listen, I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but some people, when I hear them talk, I can just say by looking at you, God's not at the preeminent place in your life. He's just not number one. I've heard people say, I don't have time, but then you look at Facebook and you never miss a Cavs game. You know, I love the Cavs, but there was times I had to set things aside to be with him. There are things. I love Miss Vicky and John. You want to know why? I've never told you guys this, but I want to tell you this. You let God rock your life because you have a burden for prayer. I will not believe it that they didn't have to change some things in their life to open the church door to pray. I won't believe it. They shifted their life. They said, maybe the show's going to have to stop. Maybe this is going to have to stop because we have a burden. I'm carrying something from the Lord, and that has to take preeminence in my life. So I'm not condemning you. I'm not beating you up. You just have to self-evaluate. I did communion this morning, and in 1 Corinthians, it talks about examine yourself. And friends, I have to examine myself and say, God, is there anything more important than you? Because Pastor used to say this thing. He'd listen to me talk. And those of you that know Pastor, he just had the best gracing on his life because in a loving way, he would correct you. And he'd be like, Blaine, I hear you, but what you're not saying is louder than what you're saying. I'm like, what does he say it? Now I'm like, oh my gosh. Oftentimes, the way we live, what we're not saying is speaking louder than what we're saying. And so where do you see God in your life? Is he preeminent? Is he number one in your life? Or are there other competing cornerstones and lesser lovers that have taken the place in your life where you're just trying to fit God in where you can? You know, I'll try to make it to prayer meeting. I try to do this. It's a sacrifice to say, God, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so, man, I'm doing my best to say, what's on your heart today, God? What's on? And I will tell you, I think the hope is the greatest ministry this church has because Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Hey, I love all the other ministries too. I love youth ministry. I love Gen Z. I love millennials. I love them all. But there's nothing like a house of prayer. It's on the heart of God. And so where do you see God in your life? So how do you see him and where do you see him? Okay. Now I want to touch a scripture before we go in to seeing God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Made an extra stop this morning to get my preaching water. It's holy water. I almost thought since our, you know, doing life together, I saw this new bottle of water. It's called Life Water. I'm like, yeah, that's it. But I already had this in my hand, so. Anyways, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. This is from the greatest sermon ever preached. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Listen, blessed, somebody say blessed, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? They shall see God. Now, when you look at this word see, it's optonomai. That's where we get our word optometrist for your eye doctor. You know, optonomai. And it's this idea to allow oneself to be seen. To allow oneself to be seen or to appear. To allow oneself to be seen or to appear. The root word that makes up optonomai says this, to see with the eyes and to become acquainted with by experience. It's really a Greek phrase, and listen, this is the Greek phrase. Are you ready? Progressively seeing God. So this compound Greek phrase is, listen, not, I've heard so many people say, well, Jesus was figuratively speaking for the great day when we meet in the clouds, the great consummation, you know. That's not, I don't believe that. I believe he's saying right here, when you are pure in heart, you will see me. You will see me. Some seasons, it's in measure. I don't believe that, I mean, there might be some that have this wild encounter, and I'm all for that. We might see God in measure. We might not see the fullness of who he is till the great consummation of the bride and the bridegroom king in the sky. But he's saying, listen, you will still see me. You get in the upper room discourse and read it. He said, listen, the world doesn't know me, so they won't see me. But you know me, so you'll see me. He says, I won't leave you as an orphan. I'll come for you. The Holy Spirit's favorite job. I'm all for signs, miracles, and wonders. I am. We chase after it. I believe in that. But the favorite job of the Holy Spirit is to manifest Jesus. That's his favorite job, is to reveal Jesus to you. And there's something glorious about this relationship of faith that we have on this side of eternity, because Jesus himself said, it's better that I go, because there's one coming. And he will teach you all things. He will comfort you. He will be, you fill in the blank, the Holy Spirit is that to you. And his favorite job is to reveal Jesus. So to see him, I believe, is to progressively see Jesus. I'm seeing him. I'm seeing him as the resurrected one. I'm seeing him as the wounded one. I'm seeing him as the holy one. I'm seeing him as the champion with all things under his feet. I'm seeing him high and lifted up. I'm seeing him as Savior. I'm seeing him as King. I'm seeing Jesus. And in my life and in my walk, I walk by faith, not by sight. But it's an action word, what we talked about later, that I'm walking. So I'm putting one foot in front of the other. So every day that I live, I'm progressively, I'm actively seeing Jesus more. Quiet in this holy pilgrim holiness church. Anyways, so it's progressively seeing God. And right now, the word and the phrase that's been released over this house for basically the year is transition and change. And I shared Wednesday night that there was many of us that we were stuck on our shepherd of the house in transition and change. But progressively, as time went on, I heard more and more people say, I'm realizing that it's not just for our shepherds, but my life is in transition and change. Right? My life is transition and change. I am not staying where I've been, but God is taking me to a different place. And I'm even, as we moved my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, who I love so much, it didn't hit me until like we're on the road. Actually, it was that night we're done unpacking, and it's hitting me, and I'm just like, nope, I'm shutting all emotions down, man. Blank wall. We're good, you know. We leave, and we get home last night, and I go and get Daniela and I dinner. Man, I had this awesome fajita quesadilla. Ooh, amazing. And I'm getting it, and I just get touched by the Lord. That Blaine, I'm also transitioning and changing the position of you and Daniela. And it just brought me to this place where I'm like, wow, God, you see me. You see me. The same Blaine, you know, I met you in 2015 and you've continuously been there. And you've revealed yourself to me. And I was just so moved. And so I feel that each one of us as a body, as a corporate gathering that gathers at 1300 Mount Vernon Avenue. And then, as Pastor Betty said, each one that you saw makes up the body. We're in transition and change. We're in transition and change. And what I realize, if we don't see God rightly, we'll allow the flesh to dictate how we transition. We'll let the flesh dictate, and we'll only receive measures of what God wants to shift us into. And so it's important to see God rightly, to see him where he is, to see him, and that will allow us to enter in. Even if it's hard, even if it's sad, even if Daniela and I have shed many, many tears, even if Blaine's been a glass case of emotion, it allows us to enter into all that God has for us, because we're seeing him rightly. We're seeing him. And this life isn't about TGP. We're thankful for the body, but it's about Jesus. It's about him. It's about intimacy and oneness with him. And so I love this, that Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, he says, blessed are the pure. What's this word pure mean? It gives you this idea of gold. They refine it by fire. Purified by fire to get all the iniquities out, to get all the junk that robs the gold of its full value. And then it also is like it's like a vine that's been freshly pruned. Those of you that know your Bible know that Jesus prunes those who he loves. That this word pure gives us this concept that we're free from mixture and corrupt desires. And so in the next half hour, I pray that as we begin to shift our hearts to see God rightly, that he's going to get rid of all the mixture, all the desires, all the thoughts, all the concepts, all these things that we gather and that we allow to consume our mind and our heart. And now all of a sudden our view of God is all whack and wonky. And then the next thing you know, it just seems like we're growing stale and stagnant. Listen, how you see him creates paradigms, creates mindsets. And then you'll live out of the guidelines of those mindsets. So we need to break off the wineskin so we're not limited by what has been and we can experience all that will be. Amen? Are you tracking with me? Okay. So we have to shift. We have to transition and change because it's going to bring new opportunities. It's going to bring new revelation for you. Not the speaker, whoever it is, so many gifted speakers. But you're going to get revelation. You're going to see God rightly. You're going to see him in a new way. New revelation. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give me more of you. You are the bread of life. So we need a new revelation. It's going to increase our intimacy with God, our oneness. It's going to increase how we connect with him, how we hear him, how we're led by him. And ultimately, it's going to be this phrase that I know people love to say. It's going to open the door how we see God to go from glory to glory and faith to faith. But it's going to be seeing him rightly. All right, so see God. Somebody say, see God. The first one for the pure in heart, how we're going to see God. Number one, we're going to see him as shepherd. We're going to see him as shepherd. If you have your Bible, open it to, we'll be at John 10. John 10:10. We'll be there in a minute, so you can just put your finger there if you want. John 10:10. Shepherd. And I want you to notice something. He is the good shepherd, capital S. Okay, there'll be seasons of your life you're blessed with shepherds, lowercase s. And I don't want to sell, you know, people functioning in the fivefold, and shepherd is one of them. I don't want to sell them short. But there are limitations to the shepherd, lowercase s. And sometimes we get so dependent on shepherd, lowercase s, that we forget who the real shepherd is. And we allow lowercase s, shepherds, we put so much dependency on them that really we think it's a good thing, but it's distancing us from experiencing the fullness of God. Because you can receive counseling from a shepherd, but a shepherd can't heal you. A shepherd can give you good instruction, but a shepherd can't give you new food, today's bread. I've told many people, if the only time you're receiving the word is Sunday morning, you're in trouble. I love food. If we only fed Daniela once on the trip, we have to literally press into God. He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. He is the shepherd. He is the king. You want to know something? I'm going to tell you this. Can I spill the beans for you? You want to know who the pastor of this church is? Jesus. It doesn't matter who takes the title, man, woman. It doesn't matter. Jesus is the shepherd. He is. So if there's a body crying out, Lord, you're my shepherd, then we can trust you. We can trust you because you're a good shepherd. A shepherd, a definition. It's more of a description of a shepherd. I don't know why, but when I think of shepherd, I think of Toy Story. You know, Bo Peep. I know that was like probably a terrible one, but I remember like she takes her shepherd's thing and hooks Woody and like pulls him in. And anyways, so it's not quite Bo Peep, but more of an illustration of a shepherd is they watch for the well-being of the sheep. They watch for the well-being of the sheep. They lead them to waters. They show them where it's good to roam. They protect them from enemies that attack, enemies that would have the intentions of hurting the sheep. They lead them. In the case of Shepherd, capital S, he brings healing to the wounded sheep. He finds, he is the one that leaves the 99 and goes after the one, the shepherd. Not necessarily this shepherd that stands here, the shepherd. It didn't say that your pastor will leave and go after the one. We should take after the shepherd. But it's him, capital S, that leaves the 99 and goes for the one. It's him that saves you. It's him that knows right where you are at this minute. It's Jesus. And so they find you, the shepherd, he finds you. He saves you. He loves you. It's the shepherd. And if you don't experience, capital S, shepherd's love, you'll never be satisfied with who's here. You won't. You won't like the way they dress, or you'll like the way they dress, or you won't like the way they talk, or you won't prefer their delivery style, or this or that. I've heard some of the most ridiculous things over the years. You know, I didn't like the carpet, or, you know, the color of the chairs, and, oh, there's good ones. We could probably make comical skit out of the reasons, you know. So it's really, we have to know the shepherd. In the days forward, we have to know the shepherd. We have to be shepherded by the King. We have to be shepherded by Jesus. So in those days, we don't come in and block a move of God because we're putting expectations and realities of the shepherd on the little shepherd. We found our fullness in him. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's look at, well, first I'll read to you. You don't have to flip there, but 1 Peter 2:25. Listen to what he says. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. That's him. That's him. That's not speaking of the person of the position. That's speaking of the man Christ Jesus, who's saying, this is him. He's the shepherd and the overseer of what? Your soul. Your soul. Your inner man. There are things I've mentioned before when I've spoke, like Greg can fool me. Greg can lie to me. Greg can put on a show and serve at every single activity that he wants to do. He can, you know, not serve at every activity. But there's limitations to this shepherd. Whatever man or woman is here, there's limitations. But this shepherd oversees and keeps your soul. So he looks into your inner man and he says, what's Greg made of? What's Greg's real need? What's Greg's real desire? What are you not saying, Greg? You get what I'm saying? That's the shepherd. So he's the overseer of your soul. Now let's look at this. John 10:10. Start there. John chapter 10, verse 10. Are you there? Okay. Listen to this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The words of Jesus. He said, listen, I want to say this to you. You are being shepherded by something. You are being shepherded by something. There's nobody that is living that says, I'm not being shepherded or influenced by anything. The way you live, walk, talk, act, the way you love, the way you express yourself, you're either being shepherded by this thief that is spoken of, or you're being shepherded by the King, by Jesus. And so he's saying, listen, there is one out there. There is one out there, but he comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Now, sometimes it doesn't always look that way. Remember the tree of life. Or the knowledge of good and evil, I'm sorry. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve saw it and it looked good to the eye. So sometimes we have to, even seeing God rightly allows us to see everything else for what it really is. And sometimes we think what we've been allowing to influence our life might be good, or you might say something like, well, it's not that bad. But if it's not leading you to life and life more abundantly, it's not of this shepherd. It's not of God. And only he is good. So we examine ourselves and saying, listen, okay, I'm hearing you. He is the shepherd, capital S, the one that oversees my soul, oversees my inner being. But you have to look and in examining yourself, saying, what shepherd, what does my life look like? What am I, as I examine myself, am I living a life that is showing that I'm being shepherded by the good shepherd, or am I being shepherded by other things? We won't even say bad necessarily, because some things aren't bad. But if you have to say, you know, well, what I'm doing is not that bad, that means it's not of God. So, I mean, if we just cut through the chaff here, it's not good. So good is only found in God. Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And the rich young ruler had to think for a minute. And I'm here to say, if you're shepherded by the good shepherd, why? Why do you say he's good? Why do you say he's good? Why? Is it just a phrase that you know? Yep, good shepherd, man. Make a three-pointer. I love that. I was at a youth camp one time, and this guy's like, I'm a Warriors fan. I wanted to smack him, but I didn't. I said, why are you a Warriors fan? He goes, because Steph Curry. I said, okay, he's good, but why? And he goes, he's a Christian. I'm like, how do you know? He goes, well, listen, every time he makes a three, he goes like this. Three-pointer. Amen. Like that, he might be a Christian. I don't know him, but that isn't the things we're talking about here. I'm talking about when you examine yourself and you say, I'm being shepherded by the good shepherd, why do you say that? It's not because I point to God after I make a three, because when he misses a three, he doesn't go like, hey, you know. You know, so the point is, we have to examine our lives, and even though these things might be good, you might still be living from something that happened in this building 2 years ago. You might be living for the next church event. They're good. Don't stop doing them. Don't stop serving. But that's not God himself. And so we have to shift and say, we're going to keep going forward as a church. I'm going to keep going forward in my life. What's that mean? Just more activities? Am I allowed to speak this way? Okay. are we just gonna keep filling up the calendar, you know? Serving, 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 serving. Or are we going to tap into and say, no, this ministry, my life is good. Why? Because I know the good shepherd. And my life displays that. My life, the way I live, the way I walk, the way I talk, I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm saying, but it reveals the one that shepherds me. And so the enemy, he's saying, listen, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I think that can be as extravagant as we think, but it can also be progressively, just in time. Let you get distracted just enough you don't see God rightly. Get just upset enough that you miss God. The enemy's great at playing the long game. Right? And he just enough. But it's so important that we see God as the good shepherd. The one that shepherds my life. The one that shepherds my household. The one that shepherds every part of me. The one who shepherds this church. So we can say, this is the man or woman behind the pulpit, but really, it's him that shepherds this house. So why are you experiencing manifestations? Why are you experiencing literally invasions of God and the baptism waters are stirring full of holy moves? Why is that? It's not because so-and-so. It's because he's our shepherd. Why is your worship so oily? Richie's awesome on the guitar, man. I wish I could shred like him, you know? I seen him even flip one upside down and play. I'm like, who is this guy? You know, Corey's great. Danny's great. John and Vicky are great. But we're not going to have a prophetic worship move just because they're great. It's going to be because he shepherds us and we're singing songs. David was a man after God's own heart, not because he was anointed king. It's because of how he shepherded. And he shepherded the way he was shepherded. I believe David's anointing come when nobody was around in the shepherd field. Being as he was shepherding, he was being shepherded. So God's like, you're a man after my heart and I can use you. So we have to know and we have to see him as the good shepherd. But why do you say that he's good? We're gonna get to that. The definition of good is cool. I love it. It's simple. It's beautiful. It's excellent. And it's praiseworthy. So again, you may say, man, I don't... TGP, why do you pray so long? What's up with that? Because he's our shepherd. Yeah. I long for the day we worship till maybe. Yeah, I'm not going to say, you know what, move on. There's a couple of churches I watch and I'm like, holy smokes, 4 hours. Then you watch it and you're like, I'm lost. I'm in, man. I lost. Time faded away. You know what I mean? I long for those days. I do. And it's not about the man or woman. It's about the good shepherds here. And he's shepherding our hearts. And he's wonderful. And he's wonderful. And friends, that's the days we're moving into. Because we've had in America, we've had the best buildings. The best buildings built. We've had the greatest speakers, motivational speakers. We've had the greatest books and curriculums. We've had it all. There is probably, like I will never produce something that is just the best. We have some gifted people. It's God's creation. So what we're boiling down to is God's like, okay, now that you've built the buildings, and now that you've had the runway, the fashion runway for some of these churches and the blue check marks, can I become the shepherd again? And friends, that's when we'll experience a real move of God. Is when he becomes the good shepherd of our hearts, of our life, and of this church. And I said Wednesday night, the greatest way to experience revival is when you experience revival. We'll experience it corporately when somebody catches it. It's like a virus. Somebody grabs it and then comes in and it just spreads like wildfire. When somebody, when their words are few, but their countenance carries the message of revival. And it's contagious. It's beautiful. So in John 10, I have a little bit more time here. John 10, I love this in verse 3 through 5. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 5 says this. The second part of 4, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Listen, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. Verse 14 in the beginning of verse 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. That reminds me of John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. That's the greatest scripture to me in all the Bible. Jesus says, as the Father. Imagine this, Greg. I'm not Jesus, but just imagine you're in this room, and he goes, hey, as the Father's loved me, I've loved you. So abide in me. Listen, listen to verse 27. He says again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And he adds this time in verse 27, and they follow me. Let me tell you, I heard Rob McCorkle say this. Life is in the voice. Life, doing life together. TGP.life. That life is not a slogan. It's not a church growth program. It's not to say, hey, come on to TGP, man. We do life together. It's there's life here because he's here. And as the shepherd speaks, it gives us life and something to be in oneness about. So we do life together because his voice brings life. His voice brings life. He is life. Life is in the voice of the shepherd that he says, I'm the good shepherd. And if you're of my flock, you know my voice. Are you with me? Are you with me? He's saying, if you're of my flock, so if you say I'm shepherded by the good shepherd, he's saying, then you'll know my voice. I'm not going to hide and say, hey, Ryan, catch me if you can. Oh, I'm over here. Nope, I'm over here. And you're like, man, he's tricky. No, he's saying, I want you to know me. God, I used to hear these things like, yeah, he just works in mysterious ways. I mean, I don't like that. If we're being honest, I don't like that. Because we're called the stewards of the mysteries. You know, God is far above us. Yes, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But his love bridges the gap so we have access. You know, his love bridges the gap. And so it's this idea that his life, as he speaks, think about this. The shepherd's not just like, hey, Greg, I love you because you're sitting up here. I can pick on you. Hey, Greg, what do you think? You know, the shepherd is still shepherding in his voice. So some of these things y'all say God told me, I'm like, whoa, I'm not the judge, but that's odd. The shepherd uses his staff, you know, and he pulls it. Greg, come over here, man. This is the flock. This is the pasture you need to eat from. This is the good stuff. My rancher's in here like, oh, you're talking my language now. The farmer's in here, they're getting it. It's the shepherd. His voice is saying, listen, there's life in my voice, so if you know me and you're of my flock, you'll know my voice. I'm not saying you'll have it all figured out. I'm not saying you're perfect. You'll know his voice. And he's saying there's life here. And because you know my voice, what we talked about earlier about action, doing, positioning, he said, you'll follow me. So I believe Miss Vicky and John, they're following. They're following. Our pastors, they didn't leave. They're following. They're following because they know the shepherd's voice. And so the beautiful part of this transition is change is they actually preach their last message by know the good shepherd and follow his voice. And you'll never miss an opportunity in your life. Because I know so many of us are worried, am I going to miss it? But he's saying, if my sheep know my voice, and because they know my voice, they follow me. So what are the days ahead? How are we going to navigate? What are we going to do? The good shepherd. And they know his voice, and they're saying, follow me. Follow me, every person at TGP, council of TGP, every ministry of TGP, follow me. Know my voice. He's saying, Blaine and Danny, how are you going to raise your son in these times? How are you going to, you know, manage a business? How am I going to be successful in my business? Man, I got all these strategies and I'm going to this conference. That's great. But are you following the shepherd? Because you can hop from conference to conference and still miss it. You can hop to best speaker and best selling book and all this stuff and miss it. Because I love the books, but they're not the shepherd. And so it's knowing his voice, and life is found in his voice, and his voice calls out for intimacy. Come and know me. I want you to know my voice. I want you to know what I'm up to in this hour. I want you to know. I don't want you to be. You know, I've used this on Wednesday nights. Abraham and Lot, both righteous men. The Bible says, but Abraham had insight. Sodom's about ready to get destroyed, and Lot's just living a merry life. So we want to know the good shepherd and know his voice and have insight and how to navigate the days ahead for your business, your family, the church, everything. And so if you're not doing that and you look at your life like we talked, are you being shepherded by the thief who's dressed like a shepherd? But really, it's robbing me of life, robbing me of joy, robbing me of increase. Because the good shepherd says you'll have life and have it abundantly. And so even not condemnation to anyone, sometimes it's such a joy to be convicted and say, okay, I'm not experiencing it abundantly and I want it. So God, reposition me. Help me see you rightly. Psalm 23, I just want to read it to you. I'm not going to have time to go into it. Psalm 23, and I love my wife. I'm learning more that the verse, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I'm like, my wife's over there. I'm trying to go to bed. And she's like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leaves me beside. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I just want to memorize Psalm 23. I'm like, oh, really? Like, why? Are you like entering a competition? She goes, no, it's just so great. And I'm so filled with garbage. You know, I want the word of God to be embedded just for fun. She's walking around. She's saying it to Zaid. She goes, hey, Zaid, you know what the Lord is? He's my shepherd. Because he's my shepherd, we shall not want. And I'm like, so let me read this to you. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, listen to this. This is for somebody right here. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, let's get crazy on that verse. Come on. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Guys, again, it's no condemnation. If you have a desire or a want in your life, if you're experiencing drought or chaos, the Lord is saying, come to me. Come to me, the good shepherd. And it's no condemnation, but I have still waters I want to lead you by. I have green pastures. I don't care who's in office. I don't care about cancel culture. I don't care about the rage of the nations, because I am the good shepherd and I'll lead you. This Psalm 23 doesn't have an expiration date, or doesn't have, you didn't read the fine print. So-and-so didn't get elected, or so-and-so did get elected, so I don't know what to tell you. He's saying, come to me, the good shepherd. Hear what I have to say. Let me give you the good pasture, the good green pasture that will nourish you, that will nourish you, the still waters that will quench the thirst. I believe the still waters are the woman at the well, where he said, you have this water, you'll never thirst again. Don't try to get in this chaos and the rage of the waters. Let me lead you beside still waters. He restores my soul. Friends, there's healing. There's healing in being shepherded by Jesus. I don't care. I do care. I love you, but I don't care what you've been through, your background, the trauma. It doesn't trump God. You are never too far broken or too far gone. He said, listen, what do I do with this pain? Let him shepherd you. Let him shepherd you. I can give you good advice. The person, the pastor, the messenger that is here, the conference you go to, the podcast you listen to can give you good advice, but it cannot lead you to still waters, to green pastures. I love this. All the days of my life, it's a lifestyle. Being here shouldn't be a burden. I got the joy of riding with Greg. Yeah, I love him and Christine and their family so much. And I'm listening to him talk about raising his kids. And I understand life is busy. They got a whole flock of life. And he goes, we've always been in the house of God. Not even out of obligation. It's just our desire. It's our heart. And I see it in the way he serves. I see it in the way Christine serves. And I'm like, man, you marked me on the way to Virginia, Greg. I mean, that's not part of the message. You marked me, man, in a good way. That I'm like, okay, Zay, there is hope. Because the good shepherd saying, even for your kids, it's green pasture. It's not an, don't be like, what do I do with the kids? Bring the kids. Because what I said earlier, they will be shepherded by something. And we as parents have the opportunity to do what Jesus did and take them and say, no, let him come to the good shepherd. I know your schools are fighting for you. I know these things, but come to the good shepherd. Come to the good shepherd. All the days of my life, I'm proclaiming that for Blaine, Daniela, Zaid, our future children to come, that they are going to know the good shepherd and desire to dwell in the house all the days of their life. All the days of their life. So TGP, what would I love to come to a building and be a part of a body of Christ with all of you is people that we are have events and sign-up sheets, but it's because we all are being shepherded by the good shepherd, and it's our desire to be with family. It's our desire to show the world, you say families are broken and a thing of the past, come here. This is what being shepherded by the good shepherd looks like. Healed marriages, healthy families, successful businesses. We're going to go into a recession. How are you thriving? How is Pathway Tables thriving among the rest? Because they're shepherded by the good shepherd. I know there's a recession. I know that there's these things coming. But there is a shepherd that can say, let me lead you. Man, it's for every part of our life. It's for every part. And I don't have time for this, but I just want to tell you what. So CM number one. See God as the good shepherd. Here was my second point. See him as king. Why I say that is I was in the Passion. I always check, you know, I just recently switched to, I've always been New King James, and I got a new ESV. My wife is so tired of me ordering Bibles. I'm like, this one's not the right margins. This one's not the right font. And I'm like, so if you need a Bible, please come and see me. I have stacks of new Bibles, high quality Bibles. She's like, read the description. I'm like, oh. But this one was a winner. So I got an ESV, and Abigail and Noah got me a Passion for our wedding. And so I always cross them, read them. And John 10:10 in ESV was the good shepherd. And the Passion called him the king shepherd. The king shepherd. And friends, he is the king of kings and lord of lords. He is high and above everything else. He is. This shepherd isn't just a shepherd that's going to come and we don't have to live with this fear. What if he gets transitioned and changed? He says, I'm on this throne and nobody can remove me from my throne. And I'm not just the good shepherd, I'm the king. And Hebrews tells us that king is sitting on a throne with all things under his feet. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. That king is sitting on a throne with all things under his feet. So when these things come against you, when these things come and things, life does happen. Things happen. But friends, we don't have to be swayed. We don't have to be thrown up and down. Transition and change, the world hates it. I mean, gosh, if our presidents could even just find a way to somehow get along, we'd be awesome. Transition and change every 4 years. It takes 2 years to wipe out all the past. Now we got a few days to do some things. The world hates transition and change. Well, my barber left, so I'm not even going to give him a chance. I'm going to a new place. The world hates transition and change, right? And it brings division. It brings chaos. But the Lord does not come to bring division. He says a house divided won't stand. So we're in a new season, a new opportunity to see him as king. To see him as he's not just my shepherd, he's my king. And that king can never get moved off of his throne. And because he's king, I function in this thing called kingdom. And when I function in kingdom, I bring the king with me. So those green pastures I eat of, I bring them with me. And I change the trajectory of the economy. I change the trajectory of what it means to be family. Because I'm seeing him as God. I'm seeing him as good shepherd. And I'm seeing him as king. Amen. And that king, I just want to circle back. It's 12 o'clock. Can I have 3 minutes? 3 minutes. Is that okay? That king goes back to, how am I going to see this? Purity. Back where we started. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. See God as the good shepherd. Listen, none of y'all love Pastor as much as I do. We hung out. You know what I mean? It's a transition and change. It's transition and change. And so in this part of life, we can either stay stuck or just focus on where we were at and maintaining a life, or we can see him as the good shepherd. We can see him as the good shepherd. This is an opportunity to know him more, know God more. In this opportunity where we're transitioning, we're not going to just wait on the lowercase s shepherd. We're saying, God, become the good shepherd of my life. Become the good shepherd of my life and become the king of my life. And we're going to access that right now through purity. The purity, simple. We're getting rid of mixture. We're getting rid of pre-made up mindsets, plans you've already made. If this doesn't happen, I'm doing this. If this doesn't go my way, I'm all these mindsets for the body and for your life, we have to be purified by fire. And we have to say, God, no matter what may come or no matter what may go, you are the shepherd of my life. Purify me by your fire. Every eye closed, every head bowed right now. If you want to come to this altar, it's never closed. It's never closed. You can come. Someone can pray for you. You can be alone with God. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. Maybe you're saying, you know, I don't know him in that way. And Blaine, I want to. And that's, I want to. Then come. Come to the altar. There's no shame, no condemnation. We'll pray for you. We'll enter you into the family. We'll introduce you to the Good Shepherd. And your life will forever change. But right now, I want you right now, Jesus, every person right now whose heart is turned to you, fire of the Holy Spirit come and burn out any mixture, any pre-made up mindsets. Burn out any upset, any disappointment, any fear. Burn out mixture that goes against your word. Burn out any lifestyle that comes against the promise of life and life more abundantly. Burn it out right now by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn it out in a supernatural way. Purify us as a bride. Purify us as we were singing earlier. Come and find us as a pure bride. Purify us right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Touch minds. Touch minds. Touch hearts. Right now, Holy Spirit. Right now, put your hands on your heart. Father, every hand that is on a heart, I pray for eyes of the Spirit to be open right now. Just as mixture is leaving, open eyes to see you rightly. Open eyes to see you rightly. Give us a fresh revelation of the Good Shepherd. Give us fresh revelation of King Jesus. Take us from glory to glory and faith to faith. Right now in this season, let us know you and see you in such a new and real way. Let us never be the same. From this moment on, right now, we love you and we praise you. as we leave this building, let us not leave your presence. Let us not grieve the new thing that you're doing, but only bring the increase. Only bring the progressive seeing of who you are. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. And everyone in agreement said amen.